We've been talking about the Holy Spirit a bunch in here, and lately, last week, we talked about the Spirit in general. What is the Spirit? Remember in John 4:23 and 24, he said, God is Spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen. We talked about the Spirit. What does it mean that God is Spirit? It means that He's alive, because the word Spirit means breath. That means life. He's a person, therefore He's knowable. He doesn't have a human body. God is not human. Yay for that. Yay, because He's not like us in the sense that we fail and we have good intentions, but then we don't follow through, and somehow we're going to fail people in our life. We try to do all that we can and work as hard as we can, but there's just that aspect of that we fail because we're not perfect. As humans, we're imperfect, but He as Spirit is perfect. He'll never fail us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. We realize that He's invisible, the invisible God. Because God is invisible, not only can we know Him, but we can know Him apart from our physical senses. We know that because of that, that He can be omnipresent and omniscient, and He's got all power. He can be everywhere at the same time. He can be moving among us. To worship God in spirit and truth, what does that mean? It means that we let the truth examine us instead of us examining truth. And that truth then can convict us. It can challenge us. It can change us. It can set us free. I'm so glad that God is not like us, but we are like Him. God is not like us, but we are like God. We're created in His image. He's not created in our image. I'm very thankful, though, that Jesus Christ came and identified with us by taking on a human body, a human form, and so that He could relate with us. But God in His essence is not human. God in His essence is Spirit. And that Spirit, He gave us the Holy Spirit so that our spirit could communicate with Him. That our spirit could relate with Him. He placed that Spirit inside of us. Now, we also walk in flesh and blood and all of that, and we have feelings and senses, but He's asking us to walk in the Spirit, not walk in the flesh, to know Him not by these senses, but by that spiritual sense, that we can know God in an amazing way, in a deep way, in a transforming way, and that He's looking for people that would be worshipers of Him in spirit and truth. He's looking for people who would give their lives away to just fall in love with Him, to be with Him. And I want the Spirit, and to be so in tune with the Spirit of God that He's placed inside of me, that hearing His voice and responding with straightway obedience is second nature. It's instinctive. It's just automatic. It's my second nature. It is my nature. I'm Spirit now. I can connect with His Spirit via the Holy Spirit that was given to us. So we didn't get a chance to get through the second part of what I wanted to talk about. So if you wouldn't mind standing, we're going to read just a portion of the scripture of the text we're going to uncover this morning. It's in 2 Corinthians 3:16 and 17. Say it with me. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. You may be seated. I'm going to talk about that freedom. I'm going to talk about the Spirit of the Lord. Before I do that, I like to try to bring it back into context. I want to start a little ahead in our scripture. I know this is in latter part. I want to start back, though, at verse 7. And we're going to take a look at this scripture. It's titled in your Bible, if you look in some places, they title it The Glory of the New Covenant. Talking about how spectacular this new covenant is that we have. And let me start in verse 7. It says, the old way, this is in the New Living, so the old way, or the old covenant, with laws etched in stone, that's a reference to the Ten Commandments, right? They were etched in stone, this law that was given to us, led to, He gives us something that actually leads to death. Because before that, there was no record of, hey, right and wrong. The idea of that when the Ten Commandments came, we now know the heart of God. We now know right from wrong. Now we have a record of this is right, this is wrong. We don't have to just think about it. And we realize that we've done a lot of wrong. That law that was set to bring the heart of God, this is what I like, please do this, we found out we didn't do it. And so we couldn't do it. We just couldn't keep doing it. And so it led to death, because the wages of sin is... And he said, hey, dude, you didn't know sin, but now you do know sin because I've shown you what it is. It leads to death. The law showed us that we were missing the mark. Also, we found out that we couldn't keep the law, and it showed us that we were bad, that we were sinners. That the wages of sin, as I said, was death. Though it began with such glory. Now remember, this whole idea of being on the mount and the Ten Commandments coming and God writing them in stone was a glorious experience. We're hearing the heart of God. Moses is in the presence of God. Though it began with such glory that the people of Israel could not bear to look at Moses' face, for his face shone with the glory of God. Because he met with God on the mount and he was in the presence of God, his face literally shone with the glory of God. It's a result of being there, connected, close with God. Even though the brightness was already fading away, it was not God's ultimate plan, this Ten Commandments, this law. It was used as a schoolmaster, but it wasn't his total plan, thank God for all of us. And so it was fading away. This old covenant, this old rationale, this old understanding was fading away. Shouldn't we expect far greater glory under the new way or the new covenant? Amen. Ushered in by Jesus? Here's the old covenant, ushered in by the Ten Commandments. It had a sense of glory, but the new covenant, ushered in by Jesus Christ, and that freedom that comes from what he did for us on the cross at Calvary, instead of keeping do's and don'ts, we have a Savior who just sets us free. Amen. Oh, gosh. Aren't you glad? Man, all of us would go broke bringing animals to be sacrificed if it wasn't for Jesus Christ. Now that the Holy Spirit is giving life, the Holy Spirit is giving life because we received the Holy Spirit when we were born again. We have the Spirit so we can commune with God's Spirit, connect with God's Spirit, enjoy what God has for us. If the old way, the old covenant, which brings condemnation, remember the law is what you do and don't, and we realize as we stand up next to the law, we are so far short of the law, we're condemned by it, was glorious. If that old covenant, the law, was glorious, how much more glorious is the new way, the new covenant? How much more glorious? I'm so thankful I live in the new covenant. I live in the New Testament. Well, I don't live in the New Testament, but I live as post what the New Testament brought for me. I'm not that old, okay? Don't get it. If the old way, which brings condemnation, was glorious, how much more glorious is the new way, the new covenant, which makes us, say it with me, right with God. Right with God. Not walking on eggshells, but knowing you're right with God. Not fearing death, not fearing leaving this planet and going to the next, because we know that we're right with God. Knowing that we're going to heaven, assured of that, knowing that heaven is our future. Why? Because we're right with God. Because Jesus made us right with God. The old covenant covered sin. The new covenant took it away. When John the Baptist looked at Jesus and had the revelation, behold the Lamb of God. That we had lambs that covered sin, but behold the Lamb of God. It's God Himself. And what is He going to do? He takes away sin. Wow. We don't just sit there with a whole record of all of our sin just still attached to us. But instead it's literally dissolved. It's gone. It's no longer a part of us. Wow! What a God! What a Savior! What a new covenant. Thank you, Jesus, for coming. Where are we? What verse am I on? Am I in verse 10?
Yes.
In fact, thank you. In fact, that first glory was not glorious at all compared with the overwhelming glory of the new way. For if the old way, the old covenant, which has been replaced, was glorious, how much more glorious is the new covenant, which remains forever? That one was done away with. This one lasts forever. God's never going to go, you know what? I've been giving you all this grace and Jesus saved you and all that, but I'm going to change it to something else. I'm going to bring back the law because I really like the law. I need you guys to do better. It's not what he's going to do. It's forever and ever and ever. Since this new way gives us such confidence, we can be very bold. We are not like Moses, who put a veil over his face so the people of Israel would not see the glory, even though it was destined to fade away. But they didn't want to see it. It was like, oh, this is too glorious. But the people's minds were hardened. And to this day, it's an interesting fact he's trying to bring here now. And to this day, whenever the old covenant is being read, the same veil covers their minds so they cannot understand the truth. Speaking of Old Testament Israel, speaking of the New Testament of the Jewish Judaizers, the legalistic folks who said we had to go back to the old covenant. The old covenant was part. We have to incorporate all this. We have to have the law. The law needs to guide us. We need to be circumcised. We need all of these things. They can't understand the truth of the freedom that we have in Christ. It says, and this veil can be removed only by believing in Christ, by becoming a Christian. Yes, even today, when they read Moses' writings, their hearts are covered with that veil, and they do not understand even to this day. I look and realize that Moses' face shone with the glory of God. Moses was in the presence of God. Moses was communing with God, and the people were perplexed, and they didn't understand how this glory was affecting Moses, man. It was changing his countenance. It was changing his presence by being in the presence of God. And they were so taken by it, they just asked him to put a covering over his face because we just can't look at you. And that glory of being in the presence of God with the law there, in the presence of God with the law there, doesn't compare to being in the presence of the Lord, in presence of God with Jesus Christ there. Where the law isn't telling us the do's and don'ts, where the law isn't condemning us, but Jesus Christ is showing us favor. Wow. Wow. Thank you, Jesus, for coming as a baby. Thank you, Jesus, for blessing us with your presence. Thank you, Jesus, for going to the cross for us. Thank you, Jesus, for opening up heaven's door to us. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us freedom. 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 I think about a bright car light that fades to nothing when the sun rises. You know, you got your lights on just like that car out there. Lights are bright in the dark, but when it gets light, it's gone. That you don't see the contrast. And that's what he was saying about the Old Testament. The law. Not that the law is gone. It's still there, but it's been fulfilled by Jesus Christ, right? Not that the law is bad. It's a schoolmaster. There's nothing bad in it, but we're not bound by the law. We're not bound by it in the sense that if we don't do it, we're doomed. In a sense, we have a Savior who was sacrificed to forgive us our sins, all and every one of them, so that then we could do what the law says, not because we're governed and have to, but because we want to please the one who saved me, the one who gave me life. So also the glory, as that fade, the glory of the law fades to nothing in the presence of the gospel. The glory of the law fades to nothing in the presence of the gospel. Again, hear me. I'm not saying that the law is done away with. It's been fulfilled by Christ. It's still a governing. But it fades in the presence of the gospel, of the good news of Jesus Christ and what he did for us on Calvary and how he set us free. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Paul did not deny the glory of Moses' ministry. He insisted that the glory of the gospel just surpassed it. It's just so much better. Let's continue. Verse 16. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away so we can see the glory of the truth of God. That's what happened to me, man. All of a sudden, I'm walking as a hardened sinner and justifying my life when all of a sudden, Jesus and his gospel becomes exposed to me and I begin to understand it, that he dies in my place, and all of a sudden my eyes are opened, if you will, the veil of hardness, the veil of justifying my sin, the veil of I'm okay, I don't need anything, hey, I'm a good person. All of that gets taken away and I realize that I'm undone in the light of Christ. But instead of being fearful that I'm undone, he brings comfort and says, hey, that's just how I want you. Don't protect yourself. I'm here for you. I'm here to give you a life. I'm here to give it to you forever and ever and ever. I'm so thankful. I was thinking, that's 40-some years ago. Demetrius was here 20-some years ago. And when he first came, that was 20, almost 30 years ago, honey, wasn't it? How many years was it? I don't know. A long time. You see, the ministry of the law led to blindness. They couldn't see beyond the veil. The ministry of the gospel leads to transformed lives. I once was blind. That was me. But now I see, and my life has been transformed. Transformed. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. That word veil, this veil, the Greek word means to cover up. To conceal. I can't see. I just can't see it. I just don't get it. And I'll see that in the world. You'll see people and you try to talk about Jesus and they just don't get it. The lights aren't on yet for them. There's a veil there. And I'll tell you what, in our evangelistic efforts to love people, all of them, we need to pray that the veil would be taken away. We need to pray that the Spirit would permeate and that all of a sudden would come to their conscience and that they begin to see with a different set of eyes, not with these, but these. That the Spirit would communicate with Spirit. And that He would touch and change us. Verse 17, here's what I'm trying to get at. Oh, that's just introduction. Verse 17. For the Lord is the Spirit. For the Lord is the Spirit. He's Spirit. He is the Spirit. He's Spirit, not human, not the body. He's Spirit. He's Spirit. And wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, let me interject something here. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, that's where you should get to. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, that's where I want to be. In a situation where, what's the Spirit of the Lord doing? I want to get to that point. I want to know in my life and my track and what I'm doing and the decisions I'm making, what is the Spirit of the Lord doing? What does the Spirit of the Lord want here? That's where I want to get. Because wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, I want the Spirit. I want to know what the Spirit's saying. I want to know what the Spirit is doing. If you get to Revelations at the very end, to the seven churches, they're all looking, they're all longing for. It says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Are we listening to the Spirit? He is spirit. He communicates to us in spirit. I need the Holy Spirit to understand what spirit is trying to communicate to me. Spirit, what are you saying? Spirit, what are you doing? Spirit, what do you want? Spirit, where do I go? Spirit. That there's this idea of just wanting to be so led and understand the Spirit. Where you are, I want to be, Spirit. Are you in this? I'm in it. Are you not in this? I'm not in it. Are you wanting this? I'm going to go. You're not wanting it. I'm not going. You see, when we get to that point, when we're walking in such a fashion as that, that we long to know and do whatever the Spirit says, that we want to be there, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is, say with me, one translation says liberty, another says freedom. I want to talk about this freedom. There is such great freedom as we're walking in the Spirit. The word liberty or freedom, it means unrestrained to go after pleasure, to go to pleasure is what it says. Unrestrained to go to pleasure. Unrestrained. It means not a slave. It means exempt from obligation or liability. Exempt. Not a slave. Unrestrained. You're unrestrained to go after pleasure. But what is that pleasure? The pleasure of the flesh? I don't think so. The pleasure of obeying the Spirit of the living God. He's trying to tell us something here in the Scripture. It's not, hey, well, the Spirit of the Lord is, and yeah, you're a Spirit-filled Christian, so hey, whatever you do, it's just... No, no, no. It's when we're connected. It's when I'm so connected that I'm so free. So connected that I'm so free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, there's freedom, there is unrestrained pleasure. He's not a cosmic killjoy. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, in His essence, we have liberty to do what Christ wants. Liberty. Freedom. We were created to connect Spirit to Spirit. And when we walk under that connection, the Spirit, with that anointing, there is great unrestrained freedom. I think He's talking about two freedoms here. In light of all of that He talked here about the Old Covenant, okay? I want to bring this together. This Old Covenant He's talking a bunch about. Then He talks about this concept of the Spirit. Old Covenant law and all of that. Then He's talking about Jesus' coming. And then He's talking about where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. I think there's two freedoms. With the Spirit of the Lord, there's freedom. I think there's two that Jesus Christ, when He went to Calvary, gave us the first one. Freedom from the law of bondage, the wages of sin. We're free from the law. We're free from having to do every jot and tittle. We're free from that. We're free from sacrifice. We're free from all of the amazing things that Jesus Christ provided for us. We're free from the have-tos. No law under the bondage of the law. But I think the second freedom, and this is what I want us to get, because he's saying where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. You're not under the law. But the second one, freedom to. One was freedom from. Freedom to do as we will while walking in the Spirit. You're free to do what you will as a Spirit-filled, Spirit-led, Spirit-baptized, Spirit-understanding Christian that realizes I walk by the Spirit, I don't walk by the flesh. He says when you make that connection and understand that, you're going to walk in ultimate freedom. Freedom to do. Freedom to be all that Christ has designed for you from the foundation of the world. I'm going to make you free to accomplish it all. Freedom from do's and don'ts, legalism, and freedom to walk in the Spirit. When we're walking in the Spirit and listening to the Spirit, that brings the greatest freedom that we can have. I don't even know if I can communicate this to you well enough. Freedom means do whatever you want. Do whatever you want. Do whatever you want. Well, I want to do it. Well, I'm going to do it. Wasn't that a little shaky? Oh, if you're walking in the Spirit, there's a caveat. Walk in the Spirit, you see, because where the Spirit is, wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So if you're there and the Spirit is not there, and you're thinking you have freedom and the Spirit is not in this thing, you got to realize you're not in freedom. You're not even free to do that. Because we're not walking in the Spirit, we're walking in the flesh there. He's given us this freedom. It comes by the Spirit. Not, well, you know, I get a lot of people, I'm under the law anymore. I can do whatever the heck I want, you know, because I'm free in Christ. I can do it all. Yeah, you can. Please, do whatever you... As a Spirit-led, as a Spirit-filled, as a Spirit-guided, as a Spirit-unctioned Christian, do it. But if you're not, if the Spirit has somehow given way to the flesh, you don't get that liberty. Because it's wherever the Spirit of the Lord is. That's where the liberty is. We've used it as, well, I got whatever I want to do, whenever I want to do it. No, no. If the Spirit's there, if you're walking as a Spirit-filled Christian, my gosh, do it. We think that walking away from God brings freedom, but it's just the opposite. Walking away from God brings bondage. Bondage from the results of sin. Walking with God brings freedom. I got so many people, oh man, you're a Christian. Oh man, it's got to just kind of cramp your style. You know, you're not very free to do stuff. I go, oh, I'm the freest around here. I'm freer than you are. Oh, no way, man. I can do whatever I want. I go, why would I want to do that? Why would I ruin my body with all that crap stuff? Why would I want to do that? Why would I want to think that? Why would I want to click that? Why would I want to say that? Why would I want to do that? That's not freedom to me, because you see, that puts me in bondage. Now I'm clicking all the time on that. I just started, but now I'm stuck here. And I tried that. Now I'm stuck here. And I did that. Now I'm stuck here. You see, that's not freedom. That's bondage. We get the idea, oh, no, I'm free and do whatever I want. I go, no, you're not free. You're not free. He's trying to get us to understand this. That God literally wants, he's saying to you, do what you want to do. Do whatever you, just so long as my Spirit's there and leading you. Do it. Do it. Do it. Should I share this with the president? Should I share this with the coach? Should I share this? Should I? Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Should I talk to the cashier and share? You know, do it. And the Holy Spirit says, do it, do it, do it. Where the Spirit of the Lord is the greatest freedom you will find in your life. Does this make sense? Verse 18. So, all of us who have had that veil removed, us Christians, Spirit-filled, Spirit-led Christians, who had the veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. It goes on. Do it, do it, do it. Why? You'll reflect my glory. You'll reflect my glory. They'll see the glory of God as you pray, as you say, as you do, as the Spirit says. We reflect the glory of the Lord. As Christians, isn't that our job description? To reflect the glory of God to this world. And we can only do that as the Spirit is in us, alive and moving and giving us the freedom to just do it for God. Glory, glory, glory. Glory to God in the highest. The shepherds heard it from heaven. Glory, that's what we're supposed to do. Give glory to God in the highest. Reflect His glory. And how do we reflect His glory? Continue. And the Lord, remember again, He's telling us, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. Walk in the Spirit. Do it, do it, do it. And we're doing it, doing it, doing it. And all of a sudden, the world starts to see the glory of God in you as you're representing Him, because you're becoming more and more like Him in every step that you walk in the Spirit. Spirit communicating to Spirit. We're becoming more spiritual. We're becoming more Spirit. We're becoming more like Him who is Spirit. Oh, man. He's not like us. We're like Him. I want my Spirit to connect with His. I want to do what He wants me to do. From glory to glory, we can only fulfill that job description of reflecting His glory by walking in the Spirit. And as we do, we become more and more like Him. You see, walking connected to the Spirit equals walking free. Do what you want. Do what you want. Do what you want. Do what you want. My Spirit's there. Reflect me. To a world that needs to see another way. Deep is calling to deep. When connected to the Spirit, everything changes. The way you live, the way you think, the way you make decisions, the way you walk. The Spirit affects everything. Let me bring this somewhat to a conclusion here. When I think about this whole idea, I was telling the folks as I was kind of trying to ponder through this scripture. Do what you want. Freedom. Do what you want. But it's not just, I'm a fleshly person, do what you... No. Spirit. Spirit connected to Spirit. Spirit reflecting the image of God. Do it. Do it. Say it. Oh, no, they'll never believe. Yeah, just say it. I think back to Titus in 1:15. He says this, to the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience are defiled. You see, in his work as a pastor and leader on the island of Crete, Titus had to deal with a lot of difficult people. Don't we all have to deal with some difficult people at times? Some of those people were legalists. They saw life with God mainly as a list of rules to keep rather than a relationship of trust and love. The people with such an emphasis on rules could find something impure in just about everything. To them, anyone who enjoyed food was a glutton, Anyone who enjoyed sex and marriage was filled with lust. Anyone who rested for a day was lazy. Anyone who did good business was greedy. For them, the religious life was all about what you didn't do, couldn't do, shouldn't do. That's why Paul reminded us, to the pure, all things are pure. Those legalists had polluted their minds, defiled, and walked by fear more than faith, were unbelieving. They denied that Christians could enjoy the basic good and godly pleasures of this life that are not sin. When we walk by the Spirit in freedom, we are free to enjoy the pleasures of life that are not sin. That is why God wants us to walk in the Spirit, to enjoy your life and the pleasures it brings. You see what it said there? Unrestrained to go after pleasure. But our pleasure comes from knowing we've been obedient to our Father. Our spirit connected with His. And the pleasure comes from obeying Him. Knowing innately. Knowing inside. Knowing second nature. This is what God would do. This is what God would do. This is what God would do. You won't fulfill the lust of the flesh if you're walking in the Spirit. When the Spirit is dominant over flesh, that's freedom. That's freedom. But He gives us the warning. The warning is this: don't use liberty or freedom to sin. Don't sit there and think you're being spiritual because you can do whatever you want, when whatever you want is really a lustful thing. 2 Peter gives us one of the warnings. Peter warned us, 1 Peter 2:16, "For you are free, you're free. Yet you are God's slave. You're supposed to do what He wants you to do. So don't use your freedom as an excuse to do evil." In Galatians, Paul warned us, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly and in love." You see, the more that you walk with the Lord in the Spirit, the more liberty you will have. But the more you will want to do what the Lord wants you to do as you're connected with His Spirit. Let me conclude with this. You are free to be Christ's. You are free to be yourself. But in the process, yourself is becoming more and more. Like Christ's. Enjoy your freedom. Father, thank you for sending your Son, that we're no longer under the law of do's and don'ts, but we're under the freedom of the gospel to walk according to the Spirit. Lord, let us enjoy life at a different level, knowing that we're doing what you want us to do. We're fulfilling the call of God. We're listening to the Spirit and we're walking in accordance. That wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, that's where we want to be. Speak to us, Lord. Speak to us. By the Spirit. That in the Spirit, we'd know your will, your way, your purposes, your plan. Because God, we want to walk in this world like you. And you gave us the way. The Spirit of the living God. Inside of us, walking in freedom. reflect the glory of God. We love you, Lord. Help us truly to be those people. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, Merry Christmas, everybody. All you're going to be taking off, we pray God's speed upon you and blessing upon you. And know this, that Carrie and I love you guys so much. We feel so privileged to be your pastors. Thank you. God bless.